and welcome to the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Please join me as I share the body, mind and soul approach that helped me to lose over 150 pounds of weight after over 30 years of countless failed dieting, starting from age 9. I am a qualified nutritional therapist, low-carb expert, stress management consultant, sleep, mindset, psychology of weight loss, holistic fertility, fasting, and coaching. I'm also a writer, blogger, and in a previous life, I practiced as a qualified lawyer. Let's do this! Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Today, I would like to talk about 10 lessons I learned from 100 days of continuous cycling. This has been a wonderful year in some aspects, but it has also been a very difficult year for many reasons, which I won't go on to on this podcast. But there's nothing special about my year being difficult because we all have our difficulties in life, and as much as possible, I simply try to get on with things. Anyway, so in June of this year, with lots of stuff going on, I decided to add a little challenge to myself to an already overwhelming time. Why the hell not? Part of the reason I did that was also to challenge myself to find out whether I can do something like this. Also to do something special because it's something I've never ever done before. There were also so many difficult things happening in my life and in my loved ones' lives. And I wanted to concentrate on doing something positive. And this challenge was also going to be something positive. In many aspects, it was also a chance to do something that I could control rather than various other things that were outside my control. I could control in so many ways whether I could cycle for 100 days. If you've been listening to this podcast, you would have heard me say that I love exercising. It's one of my happy places in life. Lost on my stationary bike in my gym with loud music. Oh, that's just my groove. And I would usually exercise 3, 4, or 5 times a week or whenever I want to exercise, but I do exercise very regularly. And so I decided to challenge myself to do something that I had never done before. I've never cycled for 100 days every single day for 100 continuous days without a break. I'm not sure I've actually ever exercise continuously every single day for 100 days doing all sorts of exercise. I've never had any such tracking ever. And the only rule I gave myself for this cycling challenge was to make sure that I exercise a minimum of 5 minutes, which meant that I would fulfill this challenge for any given day as long as I exercise on the bike for a minimum of 5 minutes. I could tick off that day as done. However, I didn't make it easy for myself. The rule I gave myself was that the 5 minutes rule would only apply on impossible days, when in normal circumstances, there was no way on earth I would have cycled. So the 5 minutes wasn't a get out of jail free day. This challenge wasn't to cycle 5 minutes a day. The challenge was to do my usual cycling, which is usually about 30 minutes. So, did I succeed in winning the 100 days challenge? Did I actually manage to cycle every single day for 100 days? Were there days that I simply couldn't cycle because life got in the way? How many days out of the 100 did I resort to the 5 minutes minimum? And what were my reasons for doing so if I did? How many minutes of cycling did I do in 100 days? What happened at the end of the 100 days? Did I continue to cycle after 100 days, or did I get so sick of cycling that I threw that bike into the dumpster? Answers at the end of the podcast. Sorry about that. So if you want to hear the answer to those questions, you have to keep listening to the end. So what lessons did I learn from 100 days of this cycling challenge? Number one, there are simply no excuses for not exercising. I also learned that I do hard things. Okay, it's not the first time I'm learning in my entire life that I do hard things, but this really reinforced our message. It did not matter how long my day had been, how tired I was, how happy I was, how stressed, how sad, how early I woke up, how late I woke up, how early I went to bed, how late I went to bed, whether I was traveling or patching all night or sick or achy or going to hospital or in pain or hosting a party or hosting a dinner party, hosting a lunch or dinner. It didn't matter. I can exercise because I want to. So listening to your body means that you should listen and stop if your body is telling you to rest and not exercise. However, there were days my body was telling me to rest and I thought to myself, just 5 minutes. If I can just get on that bike and do 5 minutes, I can tick off that day as done. And once I was on that bike, the feel-good rush meant that I would continue way beyond the 5 minutes, feeling so much better afterwards and enjoying myself on the bike. The happy hormones released by exercise, oh my goodness, those things are real. Exercise can be a form of hormesis, which means a good type of stress. The sort of stress that what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. So even though I was stressed out, the pleasure of meeting this goal and exercising meant that I was inspired to keep going. So even though I'm someone who has exercised regularly all my adult life, this challenge helped me to know that there are simply no excuses not to exercise, because I found in circumstances where I would usually have said, oh, I'm too tired, I'm pained, I'm ill, I'm busy, whatever, for not exercising, there are simply no reasons not to exercise. So number two lessons, my cardio fitness and heart health improved during the 100 days challenge. I wear a Fitbit and I track my heart rate, my resting heart rate, and my cardio fitness. And in as little as 7 days, my resting heart rate dropped by about 7 points. Sadly, there was a big lesson to learn as well. Just a day or two of disturbed sleep meant that the resting heart rate will shoot up and stay up, going up and down depending on stress, sleep, all of which are usually fine. Therefore, I didn't have any significant resting heart rate overall because they were affected by other things. Number three, people usually ask me the best time to exercise. My answer is to exercise whenever you want to. Exercise whenever fits your schedule in life and work, and when you can consistently make exercise a regular part of your life. And I found that it didn't matter what time I exercised, as long as I did. I was good to exercise morning, afternoon, or night. However, whenever possible, I tried to exercise on a fasted state before breaking my intermittent fasting, because I feel good when I'm exercising, knowing that I'm actually burning my body fat exclusively by exercising before I break my fast. Number four. Weight loss has nothing to do with exercise. This did not come as a surprise to me, as we have already talked about in episode 15. In the role of exercise on weight loss, you can't out-exercise a bad habit. So whether I cycled from morning till night, every day, 7 days a week, if my food isn't great, I would gain weight. And if my food is perfect, I would lose weight. For sure, when you're working so diligently on fitness and exercising, you're motivated to eat better. However, exercise has absolutely nothing to do with weight loss. Number five, exercising is addictive. Oh, the dopamine hit, the serotonin, and as someone who's always enjoyed exercising, it still came as a surprise just how addictive the cycling became, even though I was only challenging myself to do it for fun. This wasn't a group challenge, it wasn't a competition, it was just me, my bike, my tracking, and I would have times when I would crave to get on that bike because doing so made me feel so good. Number six, exercising late at night doesn't affect my sleep. For some people, nighttime is time to try and wind down and not get yourself wired up by exercising. So there are people who, when they exercise late at night, they might struggle to sleep. But for me, I found from this challenge that it did absolutely no impact on my sleep. Obviously, life happened during the 100 days, and there were days I would cycle as late as 11 p.m. because I had just literally got home and wasn't able to cycle before leaving home for various reasons. And I found for me that exercising late had zero impact on my sleep. It wouldn't make me sleep better or make me sleep worse. It just had no impact. This might be different for you, and I'm not advocating exercising late just before you sleep, because for most people, they need to prepare for sleep by starting to wind down rather than jumping on a bike and exercising. Number seven, it's all in the mind. Pain, illness, exercise works. This lesson was a real one for me because there were times in ordinary circumstances, nothing in the world would have made me get out of bed, let alone jump on a bike, but I did it. I'm not advocating exercising when you shouldn't. I did so, I lived to tell the tale, I have zero regrets. For me, this was a real lesson in discovering myself, in discovering my strengths, my abilities, and being able to look in the mirror and say, bloody hell, woman, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, I do have things, and it's all in the mind. Those days where I least wanted to exercise were some of the days I loved getting on that bike and exercising and loved playing my music. And then I would leave the bike, finding that whatever was going on would feel so much better. But also, if I hadn't done this challenge, I really would not have known that in those circumstances, like some I experienced during that challenge, that I would have gotten up to exercise, because that just simply was not what I wanted to do. So, number eight, exercising has nothing to do with hunger. This is not a new thing for me because it's something I've talked about on the podcast. When people say, oh, I'm exercising, so I need to eat carbs, or they say, oh, I'm exercising, so I'm eating more. It's not a new thing, but it's something that doing this challenge actually emphasized for me. People sometimes use exercising as an excuse to eat more. I fasted every single day of the challenge, either eating 1 meal a day or even extended fast of over 24 hours. Cycling daily didn't mean that I needed to do shorter intermittent fasting like 16 hours and eating during an 8-hour window. Absolutely nothing like that. An average weight woman has enough body fat to fast for 30 days with the right amount of electrolytes and water. I'm clearly not advocating that you should fast for 30 days. I'm just saying that my body had enough body fat to sustain me to keep exercising as much as I wanted to, even though I was fasting every single day of the 100 challenge. And I didn't deceive myself by eating more simply because I was kicking ass with the exercising. You don't have to exercise on one part and then spoil everything you're doing by then pigging out and pretending you're pigging out because you need the energy for the exercising. Remember, we've talked about the process of gluconeogenesis, where the body can, whenever it needs excess energy in the form of carbohydrates or anything like that, it can make its own energy. Our bodies are also designed to be able to exercise even in the fasted state. When we were out there hunting and gathering, if we couldn't exercise and hunt and run without food, we would have been extinct. Man would have been extinct. I'm not saying that you must exercise in a fasted state. Do whatever works for you. If you prefer eating before exercising, that's perfectly fine. What I'm saying is, if you're on weight loss mode or even in maintenance, don't start eating a lot more because you're exercising and compensating for the exercising by eating more than you should. Still listen to your body, stop eating when you're full, and all the things we've talked about conscious eating, but don't use exercising as an excuse to overeat. Okay, number nine, my legs and my bum appear a little bit more toned after this 100 days challenge. And I was a little surprised by this, especially because my legs looked visibly more toned, because I wasn't new to exercising or cycling, and I have always done so even at my heaviest weights. But I guess because I was concentrating so much on one particular activity. And I had also been doing my tracking, kind of measuring my legs and various aspects of my body before I started the challenge and measuring them at the end. I was pleasantly surprised that there were differences in legs and bum and other aspects. As well as being better toned, I found that my legs were stronger after the 100 days. I actually noticed an increase in strength and being able to do more things than I used to be able to do before I cycled for 100 straight days. Okay, so number 10, and I think this is probably the biggest lesson I learned from challenging myself to cycle for 100 days. And it's that sense of achievement that I felt at the end of the 100 days. There were days, like I've said on this podcast, I simply had no business getting on my bike, but I still did it and I ticked off my day. The sense of achievement I felt as setting this target for myself and actually coming to the end of it on day 100 was just huge. It just made me feel so good. And I actually felt like if I can do this challenge with everything that was going on at the time and in the days and weeks and months of doing this challenge, I can absolutely do anything that I set my mind to. Anything I want to achieve, if it's that important to me, I can absolutely do it. Because it really took all of me to be able to keep ticking off those cycling days. On days where I simply had no business cycling, I still got up and I still did it. And if I can do this, I can do absolutely anything I really put my mind to. Go me. So, were there any cons to the 100 days cycling challenge? The main con for me is that I didn't do enough weight training or strength training or weightlifting exercises during the 100 days as I would normally do, as I was just so focused on ticking off my cycling days. And like I said, cycling is addictive. There were days that I would intend to have done some strength training, but I would get on that bike thinking, okay, I'll do a short one and then I'll strength train, but then I'll be on that bike until I tired myself out. So like we talked about in episode 15 on exercising, weight training and those strength training exercises are so very important to keep us strong and healthy as we grow older. It was fantastic that I set myself this challenge. However, I should not have done that to the detriment of strength training and weightlifting. But I have no regrets. I did the 100 days. I wanted to cycle for 100 days and that's what I did. Another disadvantage of the 100 day challenge for me was the fact that there were days that my legs ached and I could have done with having a little break from cycling on those days. But those days were far and in between and I would only cycle for about 5 to 10 minutes on the days that I felt my legs were aching and needed the break from cycling. However, I don't have any regrets because I can justify cycling every day. Because some people go for walks every day. That's what our legs are designed for. And my life is pretty much sedentary, like most of us are when we sit down a lot to do whatever we're doing for work. And for me, I don't walk every day. And people that say, for instance, they're forced to walk because they leave 30 minutes walk from the station and they decide to go to the station to go to work. They're walking every day. The human leg is designed to exercise. So for me, by cycling every day, I did not hurt myself. I did not do anything that would cause me some damage to my leg because I wasn't resting. And like I said, on those days, if my legs were aching, I would only cycle for 5 minutes. Okay, so shall I answer those questions I posed at the beginning? Let's do this. Did I succeed in winning the 100 days challenge? I think you might just know the answer to that question. Absolutely 100%. I cycled every single day for 100 days. Go me. And I'm dancing as I'm saying this. I absolutely did it. Next question. Were there days I simply couldn't cycle? Okay. There were days I shouldn't have cycled, and under normal circumstances, nothing would have made me to exercise. And those days, I took my ass and I got on that bike and I cycled. And these were days when I was happy, sad, sick, traveling, partying, busy, dining with friends until very late, even two funerals. I didn't make excuses for myself. I found the time to get on that bike and I cycled. Whether it was doing the 5 minutes or doing longer, I cycled. So how many days out of the 100 did I actually use the 5 minutes minimum? And what were the reasons for doing so? I used the 5 minutes rule on days that I absolutely needed them, on days that I could not do any exercise other than 5 minutes. And I did that on 8 out of 100 occasions. So I actually cycled more than 5 minutes on 92% of the challenge. I'm really happy with that statistic. And the 5 minutes, I used them on days I was sick, days I went to hospitals, very long days when I attended funerals, days when I was traveling, or days when I actually decided to do upper body workout and to concentrate on those wonderful strength training exercises that are so, so important for all aspects of our lives, rather than the cardio of cycling. So some days when I focused mostly on those upper body workout, I only spent 5 minutes on the bike because I'd had my day of exercising. Also, like I said earlier, there were days that I needed a rest day from cycling because my legs were achy. So for those rest days, I just did the minimum 5 minutes because I needed a break from cycling. And by doing just 5 minutes, I could have the much needed break as well as still tick off my day as done. So how many minutes of cycling did I actually do in 100 days? I cycled for 2,590 minutes in 100 days. 2,590 minutes, which means that on the average, I cycled an average 26 minutes daily over the 100 days. I was really pleased with that because I've never done anything like that in my entire life. So, what happened at the end of the 100 days challenge? Have I continued to cycle after 100 days, or did I get so sick of cycling I threw that bike into the dumpster? So I don't think this is going to be a massive surprise, but I have continued to cycle since the end of the 100 days, and I'm recording this podcast on day 120. 120 of cycling every single day for 120 days. Oh my goodness. I actually can't believe that I'm still doing this. I can't believe I'm still doing it. But I love my bike even more than I did before I started the challenge 120 days ago. However, I am making sure that I lift weights, do my kettlebell workouts, and actually do more strength training exercises and cycle at the end of weightlifting days instead of tiring myself out on the bike and not lifting as much weight as I should be doing. I'm still keen. I still find myself excited about ticking off that I've done 120 days, and I need to dial that down. And I'm talking to myself here because I don't need to put myself under pressure to cycle every single day. I've done the 100 days. I know I can do it. I don't need to prove anything else to myself by continuing to tick off the days. But I am actually enjoying doing so, and I'll continue to enjoy being sensible about it, but also enjoying the fact that I'm still exercising every single day. I think this challenge for me was in a difficult time thinking, right, there are many things I can't control. I'm going to do something positive that I can actually control. With everything else that was going on with people I know and people I love, I'm going to do something positive for myself. And that's why I did this challenge in the first place. Exercising that frequently might not be the right thing for you if you decide to do a challenge like this. And perhaps you might be more sensible than me on days when your body is telling you to rest. Please rest. Be conscious of your abilities and don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure or feel like you have something to prove by continuing to exercise if your body is clearly telling you to rest. Having said that, on some of those days when I felt like there was no way on earth I wanted to exercise, those were some of the most enjoyable days, and I would always feel so much better having exercised. And I just want to say, whatever is going on in your life, keep doing some movements, keep exercising, and if I can cycle for 120 days without a break with some of the stuff that have happened in the last few months, you can absolutely exercise. You can do whatever you want to put your mind to and whatever will make you happy. And even if you feel like absolute crap, like I have done on some occasion, the serotonin and dopamine hits from exercising can help to cheer you up. However, please listen to your body and do what is safe for your circumstances. And on that positive note, that is all I have for you today. Thank you for giving me this opportunity and this platform to share the stuff that are important to me and to share this task that just gave me so much pleasure and so much sense of achievement for having done it. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope to see you next time on the next episode of the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you. Have a great week and bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. If you like this podcast, please do me a huge favor and like, subscribe, share with your family and friends, and please review this podcast so that other people can find us. Please see our show notes for any links referred to in the episode. If you wish to connect with me on social, my Instagram is Bells Low Carb World. That is BELLES Low Carb WORLD. I hope you join me next week for the next episode of the Holistic Weight Loss and Lifestyle Podcast. Have a fantastic week and thank you. This podcast is for informational purposes only. This podcast does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Thank you.